Good morning, ladies. If you all want to find your seats, we're going to get started. A few days ago, Alma called me and asked me to... Alma called me and asked me if I would like to introduce Laura to you guys today. And I said, of course, because she's my friend. She's actually more like my sister. There's actually like a running joke in our family. Her and Darren drove with us to Taylor and Cody's wedding, actually. And on the way home, we were all talking about like how they were our like adopted in family. They're in like several of our family pictures, and we were driving home and everybody was like talking about it. And Darren's like, wait, so if we're in your family, like we're your siblings, who married in and who's the original sibling? And she's like, who married in? And we all pointed to him at the same time. We're like, we claim Laura as original. So Laura is an amazing woman of God. She's kind of quiet when you first meet her, but the word I would describe her as is real. She is extremely real. She's not going to sugarcoat things for you, not in a mean way, but she's extremely down to earth and extremely real. And so I know whatever God has put on her heart today is going to be very beneficial to everyone. So I'm just going to pray over her, and I think we have a song that we're going to do too, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. So dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for Laura and the words that you've given her to speak to us today, Lord. I pray that you would just speak through her. Let your Holy Spirit lead. Let your Spirit be here, Lord Jesus. I just ask that we would hear what she has to say, and we would take it to heart, and we would put it into our lives, Lord, because I know whatever it is, it's going to be extremely beneficial and straight from you, Lord. I just pray that you would just bless the rest of this meeting and bless everyone the rest of their day and this weekend as we come back together tomorrow. And I just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
To age, he stands. I love that. It was really neat. I was asked if there was a song that, you know, the Lord was laying on my heart that kind of went along with what I felt like he wanted me to say. And I was like, I don't know. You know, I just didn't really have a strong feeling about it. And I think it was between Alma and Sandy. We were meeting this week and Alma had found this version of that song. And I thought it was perfect. It fits right along kind of with what I feel like God's been teaching me. It reminds me of how cool it is that God speaks every language, which is crazy. And so, yeah, it fits right in kind of with what, yeah, I feel like he's laid on my heart for today. So I'm Laura. I know a lot of you, but not everybody. I see a lot of faces that I haven't met personally before. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm excited that the Lord's giving me energy today. We actually had about 30 college students from Oakland and Wayne State University last night in our house till about midnight. And so I was like, y'all gotta go. I have to wake up early. And so, but I'm awake and I feel awesome and excited today. But yeah, so for a lot of you guys know this already too, but if not, my husband Darren and I work with a college ministry called Crew. It used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ, so that might be the name that's more familiar for a lot of people. And so we spend a lot of time meeting college students. We spend a lot of time sharing the good news about Jesus with college students from all backgrounds and walks of life, and discipling them so that they're maturing in Christ and that they can enter the world, you know, ready to live with him for a lifetime and serve him. And so a lot of people are like, Laura, I don't know how you guys do that. Like, it's a missionary role. And so, like, it's, especially if you guys know Darren, he's super outgoing. He has no problem talking to anyone. He never feels shame for good or for bad sometimes. And that it's usually a good thing. But people are like, I just don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can go up to strangers and ask them about their beliefs and share about God with them. That seems scary. And I want to say for sure that, you know, I don't know how I do that either, because I can't. It's through God's power that any of us can do anything. We have to rely on him. We can't do it in our own power. And so that's kind of what I hope comes across through my message today. Just how much we have to rely on the Lord to have a kingdom impact. And so a lot of the time when we think of just like acts of faith or good works, I think it's easy to think really big. Like, we think of people like Beth Moore who have a stadium full of people listening to them, or we think of missionaries who move to the remotest parts of the world to share God. And that seems kind of overwhelming for a lot of us. Like, I don't know how people make decisions like that. That seems kind of crazy. And it's, again, it's always relying on the Lord for the strength and the wisdom to do that. But I think it's also that we don't see all the little acts of faith that lead to things like that. It's broken down into little decisions every day, little ways that God's asking us to step into what he's already doing. And so I think we think sometimes like, oh, but like my everyday life is pretty mundane and boring. It's easy to see, you know, waking up in the morning, you know, taking care of your family or getting ready for work, going to work and coming home, like cleaning your house, talking to people and your friends. All that stuff seems kind of insignificant. It seems like you're just living your life, and it's hard sometimes to see what God is doing in that. But the exciting thing is that those little things and the little ways that we're honoring him and serving him in the everyday actually have a huge eternal impact. We don't always see the fruit of that right away, which is the thing that is can be kind of discouraging. But I hope that you guys leave today kind of feeling like, oh, he's totally working in those little things. I have faith that he's working, and it's not even what I'm doing. I'm just scattering seeds everywhere, and he's the one who's actually growing the harvest. And so is the Invisible Woman video, have people seen that? Okay. Well, I can just kind of summarize or whatever. Sandy sent me this video and was like, hey, this is kind of the theme that came to mind, and it worked out perfectly with what I felt like excited to talk about too. But it's this video called The Invisible Woman, where the speaker was saying she was feeling really invisible. Like, she felt like she did a lot of things and served a lot of people, and that it didn't seem to be noticed or appreciated all the time. And she was given this book by a friend about the beautiful cathedrals of Europe, where they are these gorgeous buildings. They took hundreds of years to build, and people have enjoyed them and worshiped God in them for centuries. But when you look at, you know, the descriptions of these buildings and the history of them, you almost never know who built them. You don't know who designed it. You don't know who all the builders were who actually laid the stones and put everything together. And a lot of them actually died before even seeing the finished creation that they were a part of. But those have had an enormous impact on even just art and architecture, but also even the kingdom of God. Like, people have spent hundreds of years admiring them, and it gives them a bigger vision of who God is to serve him in a house like that. And so she was saying, similarly, you know, all those moments where you're like cleaning up after people, you're helping somebody out with grocery shopping when they're sick, you're making a meal for someone, you're just having a conversation where you're listening to someone's struggles, all of those things seem insignificant. It's like, no one's, you know, praising me for that. I don't know if it's making a difference. But God's building a cathedral out of those little stones. And someday, you know, it might not be until we meet him face to face where he shows us, hey, this is what I was doing with that. And so that was kind of the theme of that video. Yeah, sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around how those things are meaningful, especially when you think about how big the world is. There's 7.5 billion people. I had to look it up because I couldn't remember, in the whole world. And our human brains can't wrap around what that looks like. That is an overwhelming number. The most people I had ever seen before until about 2 weeks ago was probably in like New York City, or I grew up in Orlando where we have Disney World. And so in the summertime, that's a lot of people in my brain. So that's kind of what my brain can process as the scope of what, you know, thousands of people looks like. But 2 weeks ago, as we kind of shared on Sunday, we were in India with crew, actually. We went on a mission trip, and that was the most people I've ever seen in my life. I could not believe that there are 20 million people that live in Mumbai, which is the city we were in, which is more than double the number of people in New York City, and the space is two-thirds of the size. So it's overpacked with people. It's one of the most densely packed cities in the world. And so it was overwhelming to look at this many people and be like, how is there a God who knows every single one of their names? He knows everything about their story. He died for every single one of them. He knows them and loves them more than any of us ever could, even their own families or our own families, how we love them. That's impossible for us to wrap our brains around. And that's kind of our design, and that's on purpose. And so it's a reminder that God is infinite, and that is no problem for him. He hears all of our prayers at the same time, even though there's no chance. Like, we can't even listen to almost two people talking at the same time without being like, stop, like, one at a time. I can't handle, you know, the multitasking. And those limits are on purpose. You know, we were meant to have to rely on God. Some things that kind of came to mind with our limits as people is like, I feel like I can be killing it. I'm doing a great job at, you know, at work or hosting a party or something. I'm like, wow, I'm just like on top of it. Good job, Lara, you're killing it. And then if I'm starting to get tired or hungry, it like completely unravels and I'm just like not a human anymore. Like, you know, we were built in with a limit of like, okay, we run out of batteries and we need certain things to sustain us get back to where we're supposed to be. Or, you know, we put all this time and energy into, you know, teaching our families or kids, you know, how to follow the Lord. We spend a lot of time on projects and making sure that they go well. But when things that are outside our control kind of detract from that or go wrong, we get really frustrated because we don't have control. So it's another limit. We're really limited on what actually happens. We can't make people do what we want. We can't make things go our way. So those were some limits that kind of came to mind. But I feel like it's interesting to think about how God even intended for that before the fall. Like, when he created human beings, he always intended for them to have to rely on him. He was always going to be their source of strength, energy, love, everything. And then sin makes that even harder just because we want to control things even more. And it's even more frustrating to see, oh, I can't do that. That's really hard. And so, but even when our hearts are aligned with God's purpose and he's showing us what he, you know, what his heart breaks for, the things that he cares about, I think that scope is the thing that's so stressful. It's like we see this great need, whether we have a heart for people who, you know, are dying of a certain disease around the world or are hungry, or people who are serving false idols in the masses. When we were in India, we went to a temple and a mosque, and it was really dark and hard to see, you know, thousands of people laying down. Like, it was almost like the Old Testament. There's like flowers and money that you're leaving in front of these statues. And it's just hard to be like, how can people believe this? Who's going to tell these thousands of people that God doesn't ask that of them? That's not how it works. But kind of what I was saying before, God cares about every single one of those people. And so even if we get overwhelmed by these big problems in the world, those little changes for just one person matter a lot for that one person. Their whole life can be turned around by what God's doing. And he died for that one person by name and said, I love them. So that change for one person is actually a lot bigger than we think it is. And so something in Crew that we teach a lot of our students is kind of the concept of what success means in the kingdom of God. And I think I have to remind myself of it all the time, so I think it's helpful. Success in God's kingdom is taking steps of faith to share Christ. And so that can be actually sharing verbally, like, hey, you know, this is who Jesus is. This is how he died for you. This is how you can know him personally. Taking steps of faith to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, not on our power. So you're taking those just steps of faith. You're relying on the Holy Spirit, and then you're leaving the results to God. And so, again, we don't control anything. And so success is just giving it a shot. You're spreading seeds. You're being faithful with those little things God shows you and gives you the ability to do. And then it's up to him to actually make people grow. It's up to him to change people's circumstances, which is really freeing when it feels unsuccessful, when you've talked to maybe a sibling hundreds of times about a problem that they have and you're praying that they would change. It's like, it's not your responsibility to change them. God's the one who can do that. It takes the pressure off of you. It takes the pressure off of you if, you know, your children are going through something hard. It takes the pressure off of you in so many situations. Like, you're reminded of, like, God is God. I'm me, and he's just entrusted these little acts of faith with me. And so just kind of the Bible verse that came to mind to cover this whole idea was in Ephesians 2, verse 10. He says, Paul says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so when we were reborn in Christ, he already, you know, we are new creations. We have a new life. And he's actually laid out all of those good works in advance. He already knows everywhere that you'll ever go in human history. And he knows exactly what he wants you to do. Those things are planned for you. And you just kind of have to show up and say, God, what are you doing here? And what do you want me to do? It's a lot easier than I think sometimes the pressure seems than what we put on ourselves to just sort of serve him. He's the one doing all the work even to set up those divine appointments in the first place. And so the cool thing, too, is that God gives each of us certain giftings as well. And so even though there's a lot of things that all of us should be, you know, if we're growing in Christ, like being merciful or generous or, you know, just all these different qualities that are really important. Some of us have special giftings in those areas where some of us he's given a really specific ability to teach. And then some of us have a really specific ability with hospitality and things like that. And so that even helps us kind of see, like, what is God doing with me? He's the one who actually gave me this ability and these circumstances for a purpose. And no one else can do that for me. And, you know, it's a unique, special calling for each of us when we have a relationship with God. And so, yeah, sometimes those assignments from God seem kind of small, but in the way that he, you know, shares in Matthew, where Jesus talks about the sheep and the shepherd, even when one sheep wanders off, he chases after that one sheep until he finds it and brings it back. So it's like, even with the 7.5 billion people in the world, he cares about every single one of them. So I just want to encourage myself, even as I'm saying this stuff, in addition to you guys, just that every single person matters. Like, you matter personally to God, and the people in your life matter to him too. He loves them more than we could even fathom or imagine or even love them ourselves. And so we can kind of step into that role really easily of, like, okay, God, what is it that you're asking me to do today? What is it? Where are you already at work? And I just kind of have to come investigate and see what you're doing. And so there are a couple of little things that have happened in my life that really illustrated this that I have to kind of hang on to or remember when I'm feeling kind of insignificant. So when I was a senior in college, there was a girl, I kind of led a Bible study at school, and there was a girl who's a freshman. So she's a lot younger than me. She's brand new. And so I do not remember this at all. Like, she kind of reminded me of it a couple weeks ago, which is why it came to mind. So in our Bible study, we were just talking about sin and confession and things like that. And so I don't remember what I said because it just felt like a normal, not important moment to me. But I guess I was sharing about a sin struggle in my life and just being open and honest about, like, hey, you know, like, this is my story. This is who I am. You know, this is the way that God's kind of grown me through that and grown me past struggling with that the way that I used to. And this girl, I guess, really took that to heart. She didn't say anything about it back then. But now, a couple weeks ago, she messaged me and was like, Laura, I really want you to know how crucial that was in my walk with God and how he used that, because I have a whole ministry dedicated to that area of wholeness as a Christian. She's like, I've spoken at conferences now. I've written articles on Christian blogs, like Bible Gateway, I think, maybe even. And so she was like, I just want you to know that God used that enormously to show me, oh, people talk about this and it's okay to talk about it, and it actually brings a lot of healing when people talk about it. And so I was like blown away, because again, I was like, hey, don't remember that, but great. I'm glad that God used that. And I didn't even know what he was planning to do, just with a little Bible study conversation that I had. And then even we kind of shared about this on Sunday too, but a couple weeks ago when we were in Mumbai, we talked to these three girls, and just God made it really easy to transition into talking about him with them and kind of get into spiritual things. And all three of them actually asked how to have a relationship with God, and they initiated that on that day. It was like on a street, just walking around. What we didn't know about that was that they actually had seen some of our other friends on this mission trip down the street, and they walked up to them and said, hey, like, what are you guys talking about, or whatever. And I guess they were in the middle of like the conversation. They were like, well, hold on, like, I'll start over again and talk with you guys in a second, hold on. And so they were kind of like standing off waiting to talk to them. And that's when they saw me and Darren and said, oh, like, let's talk to them. Like, they, you know, they were like, we love Americans, let's chat. And I was like, okay. But it was just crazy how God was already working. He was having them, they were looking around, seeing like, hey, what are you guys talking about? I want to know. He already had done that, and we had no idea. And they actually came up to us. The easy part was really just asking his spirit, like, hey, where's the right way to enter in a conversation with them about this? Because that's why we're here. And so he made that really easy. It was through his Holy Spirit. It was not that we're outgoing, awesome, charismatic people. I'm not. Not by, you know, my personality or whatever. And so, yeah, just those are kind of two things that came to mind for me, where I was like really reminded of how God is the one who is doing everything. And that even, you know, just having a conversation in India with these girls seems like a really big, crazy thing. And it kind of is. But when you break down the pieces of it, it's like there were just some girls talking in the street and we talked to them. Like, then you never know what God's going to do with that. So I think some of the really big moments that God has prepared for all of us in this room, where he's going to use us to impact his kingdom with eternal, you know, purposes, it's going to happen in places like the grocery store. It's going to happen in our living room. It's going to happen here in parking lots. Like, we just have no clue where he's working and who people are who he's bringing to us for a purpose. And if we've been here for any amount of time, you hear all these stories all the time about people, you know, running into someone at Meijer, and it turns out, you know, you end up going to their house to pray with them, like crazy stories. And I think that's one of the awesome things about this body of believers, is that there's no shortage of seeing testimonies of what God's doing through everyday ordinary circumstances. And so, yeah, just our faithfulness to step into that, and just even be praying and asking God, like, what is it that you have for me today? What cathedral are you building through things that I think are kind of insignificant and boring? Those are the kind of things that I really felt impacted to sort of share about today, based on the theme of the video that, you know, was shared with me. And so, yeah, just the theme being relying on God for your purpose and trusting that those small steps every day, changing someone's life through his power, through things that you don't even think matter, is going to have an eternal kingdom value. And that's actually what the kingdom of God is built on, is ordinary stuff like that. So, yeah. That's all I got. You want to say anything?
Isn't she awesome? I just love her. We were joking the other day, we had met at Panera, and I said, I want to be like Laura when I grow up. So I think you're really amazing. You did a beautiful job. Laura Wallen had actually given me that little clip. I encourage you guys we'll figure out a way for you guys to see this thing about where she shares about the master builder. Do you guys remember when Keith Tusey came in like 20 years ago talking about the master builder, and it had an impact on many of us where we never forgot it? And it really ministered to me that, you know, sometimes things take a long time, and that's okay. But you can get discouraged in that, right? But I love the antidote. you know, if we just start, you know, we remember that it's all Him. I mean, sometimes we get that confusion where, you know, I need to step in and do this thing because it's taken a really long time. And that's when, like, fear and anxiety and different things like that come into play. But thinking about the video and thinking about the Master Builder, it reminded me of a story in my life here in this church. I started coming when I was 23. I'm 51. It's been a long time. Flies by like that. So anyways, I'm 23. I come without my husband, and Jim actually comes 15 years later. But when I came at 23, I didn't think it was going to take 15 years. And like I was sharing with them the other day, sometimes it can be like a lonely place, kind of, you know, a little bit in some things in our lives when we're waiting, you know, and then the enemy can come in and just kind of like lie and it's never going to, you know, all these different things that he says to us. Not thinking about the things that she said when we remember he already has a plan. We just need to kind of jump into that, right? And it's not about us. But I remember it kind of being a lonely place. And I was young, and I was the baby of the family. Well, Ashley, my sister, is the baby of the family. You know Ashley and Ricardo. Do you guys all know Ashley's my sister now? Okay. She's my much younger sister. So I was the baby of the first four. And to do something different was different. You know, like I came to this church from a Baptist background, and it was a big deal, you know, like it was that church a little bit. And, you know, just different things, like we believed, you know, in the gifts of the Spirit or just different things. And I sometimes felt like I kind of like I came under attack some by some, not everybody. But it was difficult sometimes because I was young and I was going against the grain and doing something different. And I remember praying one day. We always sat in that same spot, by the way. I remember being in that same area that we still sit in and worshiping the Lord. It was during praise and worship. And in the spirit, I could see down the pew and I could see many family members. This was many years ago. And right now, if I could have my family members stand up in the room right now, they're not all here that come, you know. And you know what's really funny about that? There was another one over there, too. She didn't stand up, but that's okay. The little pretty girl in the red shirt. She's a new niece to me. What I thought about the other day is they weren't even born. Well, some of them maybe were born and they were real little. Some weren't born at all. They weren't even here yet. And that the Lord did immeasurably more for my heart's desire than I even thought at the time, that he was building something beautiful when I felt alone and I felt like, when is this thing going to happen? But he's done so much in all of our lives. We all have testimony of him as a master builder, the things that he's done over the years, that, you know, if we even just take a moment to think about that, that he's done immeasurably more than we could ever dream. And I know that it's not over. And we just need to come in with what he's, I like what you said, how you said that, like show up to what he's already doing. And put your trust in him, because he is building something beautiful more than you could ever dream. And that's all that I have to share, but I'm going to call Lara back up to close us.
That's awesome. What a great testimony. It's like, even though we'd already talked about this, it just like refills me with joy just to know, yeah, like God's term, you know, he sees things, he's outside of time, he sees everything from beginning to end, but to us it seems like forever. So I just think that's really encouraging. That helps me a lot too. It's just, yeah, the things that I trust God for too. I just wanted to, close us out. And the reality too is just that, you know, the power and excitement that we've been sharing about what it's like to walk with God, just want to extend, you know, the invitation to people who might not know what that's like, you know, whether you've been going to church your whole life or whether this is the first time, I have no idea. And just knowing that even though we talk about these amazing works of faith and that we're relying on God for them, that's not the only thing that God wants from us. He's not concerned and measuring, you know, what is it that you're doing for me? How are you serving me? How are you impressing me? That's not God's heart. He really cares about you as a person. He loves you the way you are already. And that he sent Jesus to die for everything that you've done, shame-wise, sin-wise, everything that you don't want to tell people about. He cares about that. He already knows about it, and he died for that. And we just have to give lordship to him over our lives. So I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here today. Every person here was brought today on purpose, God. There is a reason, and you knew about it from the beginning of time, God. This is a divine appointment for every single one of us here. And so I thank you so much for every lady who's here, Lord, in this room. Thank you so much for our health and our safety in getting here. We trust that you are at work in our lives, that you have a purpose for every single person in here, that you can give your power to every single person in here to do amazing acts of faith and just walk with you for a lifetime, God. You give us the peace, the strength, and the grace to do that. Whether we see the results right away in the natural world or if it'll be in the spiritual world someday when we're with you. So I just ask that you would reach every person's heart, God. If there are people who just don't know what it's like to hear from you, if they don't trust you, if they don't know you the way that some of us know you yet, God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts today, Lord. I pray that you would make it known to people that you sent your son on purpose, that you sent them for him for every single person in this room, that even if they were the only person in the world that existed, that Jesus still would have died for that person to take their shame away. He died to have every single person in this room be with you forever, Lord, and that it's just a matter of asking you to come into our lives, God. It's a matter of giving over our desires and our control of our life and saying, Jesus, I trust you to do that instead. You are the Lord. You are the Son of God, and I believe in you. And so, God, I pray if that's something that even people today want to do, if they want to make that decision, I just pray that they would feel comfortable praying that to you, Lord. I pray that they would hold nothing back from you and share that desire with you, Lord, and that then people in this room would be ready to disciple them, to help them grow. Thank you so much for this wise body of women and men in this church who come alongside people in all walks of life and backgrounds to help them see you, to study your word together, and we're all growing together until you come back, God, until we're all with you in heaven. And so we just are so thankful for your spirit and for you, and I pray that everyone has a wonderful rest of their day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did a beautiful job. Thank you. Mitzi, I was wondering if you could introduce your friend to the ladies.
They both pastor a church in Southwest Detroit for 15 years, over 15 years. But Carmen has done a whole lot more years than that within ministry. So I'll let Pastor Carmen introduce.
Well, thank you for having us. We were here last month. I know Mitzi spoke and she invited us, and so we wanted to come today, too, and share with you ladies. We had a great time the last time we were here. But this is Ruth, and Ruth and her husband are actually spending 3 weeks with us, my husband and I. They're from Burkina Faso, West Africa. She speaks very little English, but her husband speaks very well English. And they're going to be ministering in 3 different churches. They started last Sunday. They'll be ministering at a different church this coming Sunday and next week. And so we just ask for your prayers. There's a great work that they're doing in Burkina Faso. They're trying to lift up and build a house for the Lord over there with very limited resources. So we ask for your prayers. We help them the best that we can, and that's why we like hosting them at our house, and we'll take them to different churches that can help support the vision that they have over there. So I'm just asking for your prayers. Amen, and thank you for having us. God bless you all.
Thank you for coming, everybody. We have another exciting breakfast in another month, so I hope you get to come again.